الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in attendance, viewers of Madani channel, there are so many fada'il related to sending salawat, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our master, our intercessor, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, we're told by the beloved alayhi salam, sallu alayya sallallahu alaykum. Recite salat upon me, Allah ta'ala will shower his mercy upon you. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Let's make some good intentions, inshallah, prior to listening to the bayan. The first hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari is إنما الأعمال بالنيات, that actions are based upon intentions. Intentions are very important, so much so that on the Day of Judgment, some people will look towards their book of deeds and they will find their inactions which they did not even do. Good actions, pious deeds. And they will think, how are these deeds written in our book of deeds when we didn't even carry them out? And the beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrates that they will be told that the reason why you have these good deeds written in your book of deeds, despite you not actually performing them, this is because you intended to perform them. You had a good intention behind them. You were not able to do them, but Allah Ta'ala has still given you the reward of that good action. This tells you that making good intentions is very, very important, very powerful as well. On the Day of Judgment, where we will need each and every good deed, we will be trying to secure ourselves, gain success and salvation. Every deed will matter. The more good intentions you make, the more good deeds you will attain, inshallah. Let's make the intention that we are here and the viewers are watching only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Make the intention that you will listen attentively with full adab and respect, inshallah. You will try your utmost to act upon what is mentioned in the bayan, inshallah. And you will also make an effort to convey this knowledge to others as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever we get an opportunity to do a good deed, make good intentions prior to that good deed in abundance, inshallah. The scholars of Islam have said, Rajab is that month in which you sow your seeds, and in Sha'ban you irrigate them, you water them, and in the month of Ramadan you harvest your good deeds. So it's very important that we take advantage of Rajab, then Sha'ban, and then, of course, Ramadanul Kareem. Ramadanul Kareem, subhanAllah, that month regarding which the Prophet ﷺ has told us the doors of the heavens are opened. Meaning, the doors of du'as being accepted are opened. Now, Rajab was a month in which our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast a lot. And you might think, I understand Ramadan, it's far too fast, but before that, how come some people fast in Ramadan, in Rajab, some people fast in Sha'ban? This is from the Sunnah, the prophetic way. Sayyiduna Urwa bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu asked Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fast in Rajab? He replied, yes, and he would give it importance. He would give it great significance. This hadith is in Kanzul Ummal. Remember, where it's important for us to do tawbah, to have our sins forgiven, we should also make the intention that we are following the sunnah of the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he used to do istighfar 70 and in one narration, 100 times a day. Our beloved Ali Salam never sinned. Sayyidul Ma'sumin, leader of the sinless. But he did tawbah, he did istighfar. Why? Because the Quran mentions that in various places. Allah loves the tawabin. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawabin. The Quran tells us, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. The Prophet ﷺ would act upon these verses of the Quran. But the reality is the Prophet ﷺ had no sins. Whereas we, on the other hand, the reality is, let's be honest, we sin day and night, multiple times a day. We commit a lot of sins. And for us, it's very, very important to do tawbah and istighfar. In one hadith, we're told every time a person sins, a black dot is placed on his heart. If he does tawbah, it's removed. If he doesn't, and he continues sinning, those black dots eventually engulf and encompass his heart. His entire heart becomes black. And when that happens, somebody tells him to do something good, somebody gives him good advice, he ignores it, he doesn't listen to it. Why? Because that tawfiq, that ability to take on advice has been lost due to the accumulation of sins, due to kathratul ma'asi, due to abundance of sins. Sins, that's not the topic, but there are various types. There are sins of the eyes, sins of the ears, sins of the limbs, sins of the heart. Sins of the heart, it's very important to save oneself from them. Meaning, ma'adhallah, somebody could be in the house of Allah. Somebody could be doing tawaf of the Kaaba in the most holiest of places, but he could be committing a sin of the heart. How? He's thinking bad regarding his fellow believer. He's being arrogant. He's committing jealousy. These are sins of the heart. Sins of the eyes, obviously looking at unlawful things. Sins of the ears, listening to unlawful things. These sins are very common nowadays, especially with social media, the various platforms. People spend most of their times on these applications. It's very hard. I remember one person even asked me regarding if they're in the bathroom, the toilet, and an Islamic content comes up, you know, what's the hukam and stuff. And I gave the advice that you shouldn't even be using your phones in the bathroom. But this is, it's like a norm nowadays, normal thing. That if you're in the bathroom and you know that while scrolling, a naat may come up, picture of the Kaaba Musharrafa may come up, picture of the Saliheen may come up, then your role is, your responsibility is to cut out usage of the phone in that place. It's an impure place where you go and defecate and where you answer the call of nature. Anyhow, so sinning requires tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the blessings of tawbah and istighfar. He said, "At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lah." The one who repents from sin is like the one who has no sin. And in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about how nadama, regretfulness, remorseful, being remorseful, this is how you do tawbah. Meaning it's not sufficient to just touch your ears. Some people do it laughingly, jokingly. That's not tawbah. Tawbah is that you recognize you've done wrong. Let me mention the three pillars, the three arkan, the most important pillars of tawbah. The ulama have said when you do tawbah, first of all, acknowledge that you have disobeyed Allah. Know that you have done wrong. Ya Allah, I've done wrong. Remorse will develop in the heart. And secondly, make the firm intention never ever to return to that sin. The third rukun, if you have to atone for that sin, then you have to atone for it. For example, somebody usurped someone's land, someone's wealth, someone's assets, someone's money, he has to return it. Then his tawbah is complete. Or if he has missed many years of salah, not given zakat, he has to calculate and he has to repeat those prayers that he's missed. Read those prayers that he's missed. Then his tawbah is complete. And remember here, shaitan is always trying, plotting, scheming, putting waswasa in the mind. And it's very powerful at times. Shaitan will say to a person, why do you do tawbah? You're going to fall back into the sin. You might as well not do tawbah. And people end up committing the sins and not doing tawbah in between. Now here Imam Ghazali, Hujjatul Islam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, gives a beautiful example. He says, No matter what happens, no matter what waswasa comes in your mind, no matter how hard shaitan tries, you must do tawbah after you sin. And he mentions the benefits. Number one, you've shut up shaitan. You've quietened him. You've not listened to him. Secondly, if Allah has willed for you to pass away thereafter, straight after that tawbah, for example, nobody knows when we're actually going to die. We have no guarantee regarding this. It could be at any moment. But imagine you did tawbah and that was the last amal you did. You've died in a state that you are penitent, you've purified your soul, and you're repentant in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's very important. Even if you commit 100 sins, 1,000 sins, after every sin, do tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and istighfar. Another thing that we should try and make ourselves habitual of in this blessed month of Rajabul Murajab, leading us to Ramadan Kareem, is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember this word, dhikrullah, when we often hear this word, we think it's limited to reciting Allah, Allah, or kalima shahada, la ilaha illallah. But remember, the term dhikr, the ulama have said that this has a vast meaning, vast connotation. When you study ilm-e-deen, sacred knowledge, this is also a form of dhikr. How? You're remembering Allah by learning about His Sharia. The laws, who do they belong to? The laws of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has commanded us to do things? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who has prohibited us from other actions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you study sacred knowledge, this is also a form of dhikr. When you recite tasbihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu akbar, la ilaha illallah, this is also dhikr. Here I recall an account of the great Imam Muslim bin Hajjaj al-Qushayri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, the famous author of Sahih Muslim. Sahih Muslim is the most authentic book of hadith after Sahih al-Bukhari. Sahih al-Bukhari is number one. From all the hadith books, Sahih Bukhari is the most authentic. Then you have the daraja of Sahih Muslim. Do you know how Imam Muslim passed away? Imam Zahabi in his Siyar A'lam al-Nubala has mentioned that Imam Muslim was once in a gathering of scholars, of ulama, muhaddithin, and they were discussing a hadith. But he did not know the reference of that hadith, the source of that hadith. So he left that majlis, he went home, and it stated that he asked his family members not to disturb him. He had his books. They brought a basket of dates. They told him that somebody had gifted some dates. So he ordered them to place the dates by his side. He was busy searching for that hadith in those books that he had before him. Meanwhile, he's eating a date as well, searching for the hadith, eating a date as well. And this was prolonged till the extent that when he found the hadith, he had also finished eating every single date in the basket. But the ulama of Islam has said, because of the overconsumption of dates, he ate too many dates, that eventually led to him passing away from the dunya. But the point we're trying to make here is, he was so engrossed in seeking hadith that he didn't even realize how much he's eating. That his sole focus was what? Finding the hadith. So this is an example of our aslaf, our ulama of the past who gave everything for Islam. And we were mentioning that seeking knowledge is also dhikrullah azza wa jal, because you're learning about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, if someone's lap is full of dirhams, picture this, one person, his lap is full of money, and then he gives that in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then you have another individual who is making the dhikr of Allah azza wa jal. He who makes the dhikr of Allah is better than the one who distributes all that wealth that was in his lap. Here, we know about the superiority of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, giving charity is also a very beloved act. But from the two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that doing the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better. In another hadith, in the sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who will have the highest maqam, the rank on the day of judgment? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who make abundant dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a sign of the believers mentioned in the Quran, that when they're standing, they're sitting, they're lying on their sides, they're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have that God consciousness. They do dhikrullah azza wa jal. Now, it's easy for us as an ummah. We have been blessed so much through our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussed how reciting subhanallah, reciting la ilaha illallah, reciting alhamdulillah, reciting Allahu Akbar, these kalimat which take a second or two to recite, they guarantee you a tree in paradise in Jannah. Now just imagine in the dunya, if somebody said to you, repeat any word, particular word, repeat it again and again, every single time you repeat that word, £1 will be credited to your bank account. What will a person do? He will read that word day and night. He will compete with others. He will ensure that he becomes the quickest millionaire in his family. But here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to us, recite subhanallah once, guaranteed for you is a tree in paradise. Recite alhamdulillah once, Allahu Akbar once. Each time you recite it, Allah Ta'ala is planting this tree for you in paradise. Guaranteed, Prophet. Another amal, tilawatul Quran. Recitation of Al-Quranul Kareem. Reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many people who perhaps only open the Quran in the month of Ramadan. And they think that this is the only objective of the Quran, to open it in Ramadan and to read it. But in reality, the Quran is the code of conduct for a believer, code of life. That everything is mentioned in Al-Quranul Kareem. How we converse with people, how we deal with people, the akhlaq we should take on, who is our role model, is mentioned in the Quran, all of these things. The Quran is very important in the life of a Muslim, life of a believer. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite the Quran himself. He would ask others, sahaba, to recite before him. And he would shed tears whilst hearing the recitation of Al-Quran al-Kareem. Where are we in this regard? So in Rajab, in Sha'ban, recite Quran daily. So that when you reach Ramadan, it becomes easy for you. It's not burdensome. It's not difficult for you at all. And look at the rewards. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, that for every letter of the Quran that you recite, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with 10 good deeds. And then he clarified, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, I do not say that alif lam mim is one letter. Rather, alif is one letter. Lam is another letter. Mim is another letter. So when you recite alif lam mim, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with 30 good deeds. And those good deeds will be given to you in the akhirah. But the blessings, the barakat of reciting Quran, you will see that in the world as well, inshallah. Many people, they say, I have this problem at home, magic, this, that, and the other. And if you ask them, when was the last time you opened the Quran? You recited the Quran, you're running here, there, and everywhere looking for some quick fix, solution, a magic solution. When did you open the Quran? When did you read it? We're told in narrations, recite Surah Baqarah at home, the effects of shaitan, jinnat, they will go away. People don't recite. So reciting Quran is very, very important. And as for our aslaf, subhanallah, again, there are so many examples of how the Quran meant everything to them. One of the tabi'een, Sayyiduna Thabit Bunani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, great individual from the tabi'een, those who followed the sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. It's mentioned regarding him that when he passed away and people went to bury him, this is an eyewitness account from those people who buried him. They say when we were burying him and laying the bricks, one of the bricks fell into the grave. When it fell into the grave, an individual went to acquire that brick, to take that brick out. What did he see? He saw Sayyiduna Thabit Bunani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, standing in prayer, reciting Al-Quran al-Kareem. And how was this? People went to his family members afterwards. And they said, what did he used to do? Like, he's been blessed. He's standing in salah in his grave. And they said he would make a dua often. That, Ya Allah, if you bless anyone with this bounty of reciting Quran, offering salah in the grave, let me be that person. Now here the question is, whilst alive, whilst breathing, do we offer our salah? If we don't, then how can we have dreams of offering salah in our grave? This was an individual who recited Quran all his life. Sabit Bunani offered salah all his life. Very pious, muttaqi individual. Allah blessed him in that in his grave he's reciting Quran, he's offering salah. And the question is, how much value do we give to salah, to Quranul Kareem? If we don't, we need to start. So reciting Quran is very, very important. Also, in the months of Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, we should increase our recitation of Salat ala Nabi as well. This is also an amal we should incorporate in this month, in the coming month. So in Ramadan, we're fasting, we're reciting Quran, we're doing dhikrullah, we're studying sacred knowledge, we're doing our wazaif, we're reciting Durood Sharif as well. And if we don't build those habits now, and we have a list, but then Ramadan enters, we enter Ramadan, and we just about fast. We're watching the clock. When will it be time to open our fast? As for every other thing that we dreamt of, we weren't able to do it. Why? There's no preparation. So reciting Salat ala Nabi, this is also something which is beloved. Sayyidi Ahmad Zarruq, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, a famous saint from many centuries ago. He has mentioned that in terms of your other a'mal, your salah that you offer daily, which is fard, the zakat that you give, the hajj that you perform, other a'mal that you do it and you have hope that Allah will accept it. But some people will be accepted, some people will be rejected. The hadith tells us some people offer salah, they don't fulfill the requirements of the salah, the etiquette of the salah, and it's thrown back in their face. These are words of the hadith. But as for Salat ala Nabi, as for reciting Durood Sharif, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidi Ahmad Zarruq, rahmatullahi alayhi, says this is that amal which is maqbool inda Allah. It's accepted in every case in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's something that we should cling on to. We should send salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salam, knowing that our Lord Allah Azza wa Jal does this as well. Allah Ta'ala doesn't offer salah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala doesn't give zakat, perform hajj or any of this. He is ghani anil alameen. He is independent. But he himself has said in the Quran, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Allah Ta'ala talks about this act, this blessed act. He says, Allah and his angels send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then me and you are given the hukum. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. O believers, you send salat upon him and much salam as well. This is that amal which we need to do. Just a few fadail in this regard. It's mentioned that when reciting Durood Sharif, have this in your mind that I am acting upon the verse that has just been recited. I'm acting upon the Quran, the hukum of the Quran. 10 mercies descend upon whoever sends salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once. You recite Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever Durood Sharif, Durood Ibrahimi, Allah Ta'ala will send 10 mercies upon you. Then what? Your ranks are increased by 10. And also 10 of your sins are forgiven as well. This is an amal that the Salihin, the Awliya, they would do with steadfastness. And we're also told that when you make dua, you should include salawat ala nabi in your dua as well. There's a famous narration of Sayyidina Umar, Inna dua mawkufun bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. Dua is suspended between the heavens and the earth until you recite salat upon your beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should make dua, and from the adab of the dua is what? To include salawat ala nabi. You're mentioning the beloved of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will accept your dua. Because whenever you praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever you mention his fadail, whenever you mention his khasais, whenever you mention his virtues, whenever you mention his lofty rank in the court of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will be pleased. Because he is the Khaliq. He is the one who created his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without comparison, when you are praising a building, a structure, or anything in the dunya, the person behind that is pleased, of course, that he is praising something I was involved in. I gave the idea, I was part of that. I was the leader of that. And here, without comparison, when you praise the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will his Lord Allah Azza wa Jal not become pleased with you? Of course he will. So these were some a'mal that I mentioned that we need to begin incorporating in this month of Rajab al-Murajab. The month where we sow the seeds. Sha'ban is where we irrigate, where we water those seeds. And in Ramadan Kareem, we harvest our fruits, meaning the reward of our fruits, inshallah. So you recite Quran from now. And it's so easy nowadays. We have Quran applications on our phones. Imagine in the past, when people had to study, people had to seek knowledge. There are examples of our scholars who were traveling from one city to another city, one country to another country, one continent to another continent, just to seek sacred knowledge. And now, at our fingertips, the touch of a button, of tafsir, hadith, Quran, every book you can think of. If we still don't read, if we still don't study, if we still don't take advantage, then we are mahroom, we are deprived. We are misfortunate. Everything's there. All we have to do is open it. And it's not a case of us not knowing how to use these applications. If we go on our phone and we look at which applications we use the most, you will find the answer for why we're not able to recite Quran. You will find the answer for why we're not able to recite Salawat ala Nabi. We spend 5 hours on this social media platform, 4 hours a day on this social media platform, scrolling, knowing that that scrolling is not beneficial. But on the Day of Judgment, if in your book of deeds, there's recitation of the Quran and your scrolling was for that purpose, going from one page to another page, reading about the life of the Prophet ﷺ on your phone, then even this phone will become a means of sawabi jariyah for you as well. This phone will become a means of your earning great reward in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not the phone that's bad or good intrinsically. It's how you use the phone, how you use these devices. And if we want to be from the shakirin, the grateful ones, then we must take advantage of these opportunities that we have every single day. Imagine you're traveling wherever you are, you're on the train, you're transport, wherever you're sitting, you can pull out your phone and earn reward. In the past, you had to have a physical copy of the Quran. You had to have a physical copy of the seerah. You had to have a hadith book in your hand. And now you have this mobile phone. People have tens of libraries. And those who make use of them, make use of them. Whereas many of us are neglectful and heedless. Now is the time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me, you, and all of us tawfiq to act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah.